times in a week where you could want to just lay down and quit. There's a lot of things that come against you as a child of God. Maybe it's been fear this week. Maybe it's been depression. Maybe it's been anxiety. Maybe it's been infirmity. Maybe it's just been a bad attitude. Maybe unforgiveness has tried to come over and where you thought you had forgiven, and maybe it's come back up. See, God knows exactly how you're standing right now. He knows the condition of your heart, and He loves you. But you know what? God has made you to be able to stand. Don't ever forget that you're standing. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, Father, You said in Your word that it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by My Spirit, says the Lord. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak a peace of God that passes all understanding on every troubled heart that's in the place. Lord, for every person that's struggling today, God, You know exactly what they need. And so, Lord, I thank You right now that You're helping every person. Right now, in the name of Jesus, amen. Well, you know, Parish Christian Center was founded in 1987 when I was 2 years old, and that's how quickly that I knew that this was our 37th one, because it's not because I'm good at math, because I'm not. I've actually stopped really doing math because I'm married to an accountant, and he's actually very quick with numbers, so I don't even mess with adding nothing up or nothing. I just say, hey, Frank, what is blah, 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 and he'll rattle them off. But we have been in ministry for 37 years, and it is our joy to serve you and your family. And I feel so honored to be your pastor. And I always ask God, God, what do You want to say to people that maybe they don't come to church on a regular basis? You know, to thine own self be true. Thine own self be true. And it was actually very simple when I began to meditate and began to ask God what He would like to say to y'all today. He said, Kelly, just tell my kids that I really love them. That I love them. You know, one of the worst things that could happen in a church is if you walk out and you feel like you feel worse about your life than when you came in. Amen. I've been in church services like that. Those are no good. And so my goal for you this morning is for you to see how much that God loves you. Go with me right now to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 8. And I don't know where you're at in your life, but see, God does. And there will never again in history be the exact same people that are here in this service right now. That will never happen again, Michelle. But God knew every person that would visit. He knew every person that would come. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and it says here, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. Now, when you're reading the Word of God, what I've learned is to hang on every single word. So God is talking about His own love for us. He's not talking about the love that Michelle has for the church. He's talking about the love that He has for us. It's His love. And He says that because He says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. How many of you know that at some point in time you were a sinner? Okay. There's some people, and you cannot get them to agree that they've ever been a sinner. Can I just let y'all in on something? I still sin. Let's see how many honest people we have. How many of you can say, I'm a believer, but there are times where I still sin? Okay. We're all on level ground then. God loves you past your sin. God loves you past your mess. God loves you past the mistake. He loves you past the addiction. He loves you past the divorce. He loves you past all the things that we would hold against ourselves. Have you ever held something against yourself and you thought, I don't know if I can ever forgive myself for that. I don't know if I can ever get over that. I don't know if my life will ever be the same because I did that. Let me tell you something. God loves you past whatever it is that you did. He loves you past that. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners," not when we had it all together, not when life was perfect, and not when we were being have. How many of you wake up and you're being have every day? Like a 2 or 3 weeks ago, I told Frank, I said, "I'm going to need to stay home today." The next day came up, Carolyn. I said, "I'm going to also need to stay home today." I can't remember if I stayed home the third day, but I could feel I was going to misbehave. And so when I have that inkling and I can not be out and about, I take that advantage, Moni. God loves you past whatever you've done, whatever you're going to do, and whatever you're holding against yourself. He loves you past that. God is not mad at people in here this morning. God loves you. He brought you here to let you know that above every single thing, he loves you. And it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. Go with me now to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. One of the, I think, the most beautiful sounds in a church service is not the music. It is not whatever else you could hear. But when the pastor is preaching the message, I believe that the most beautiful sound is the turning of his word. To hear those pages turn. I can read to you all day long, but very respectfully, I've got to tell you, that just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. Amen? Just because you go to church don't mean you're going to heaven. Now, going to church don't hurt, but angel, on its own, it won't get you there. Just shaking a pastor's hand won't get you into heaven. I'm not that holy, okay? I don't have that authority. Just reading to you and y'all just listening to me, that ain't getting you there either. The Word of God tells you, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. One of the ways that you keep yourself working out your own salvation is you get into His Word until the Word gets into you. See, when you get into it, it's getting into you. And because the Word of God is living and because it is active, when you have put the Word of God into your heart and troubled times come, the Word goes to the trouble. It's living. The only way it doesn't go to the trouble is if you haven't put it in there. David said in the Psalms, "Lord, your word have I hidden inside of my heart that I would not sin against you." See, the word, when it's in there and it's in your heart, you'll have a harder time sinning because that sin will go against the word and you'll feel that inner conflict in your life. And see, that's called the Holy Spirit working with conviction in your life. God will never deal with you by condemning you. "Oh, you're just a terrible person. Look what you did." God will never deal with you that way. But what he will do is he will allow the Holy Spirit in your life to convict you to say, "Hey, I need to change. I need to change." So we're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 this morning. "And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." I want to refer back to the first part of this verse. "And so we know, whoever you are today, you need to know that you know that you know that God loves you." I've been in ministry my entire life. I can tell you that there have been seasons of my life where someone would say, "Well, Jesus loves you," or "God loves you," and it would mean nothing to me because that heart was hardened. So I want to get this down in your soul this morning. The same God that made every single thing, He loves you. And it's an unconditional love. It's an unconditional love. And when God can get you to stop looking at your past and looking at what you regret and stop looking at what you wish you could do over, when you can stop looking at that and look to God, God will show you, hey, I love you regardless of all that stuff. You know, the power and the love of God has the ability to wash over regret. It has the ability to wash over and to do away with addiction. It has the ability to wash over and set your life right back on course. See, there's some things, and I used to not get this, but I get it now. There's some things that when people, after they do them, they have a hard time moving on because that thing was just in their mind so bad. There isn't anything that you've done that God's holding against you. He loves you. And the love that He has for you, it's unconditional. It's unconditional. Now, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Does anybody know what that means? Well, he's the one in your head always telling you, you're not good enough. You're not Christian enough. You really aren't forgiven. Have you ever realized that you were forgiven, but you didn't feel forgiven? That thing, it still gets you. Amen. We got to get you past that feeling because, see, forgiveness isn't a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's just a state of being. We are forgiven, and He's not holding anything against us. So in His Word, it says that we have known, we know, and we rely on the love that He has for us. I'm not going to get out the violin for you and start singing because I'm not good at either one of those things. But what I can tell you is just in this crowd of people, if I said, who in here, they've got a situation in their life where they've been hurt by another person very deeply and you've had trouble getting over that, we could probably all raise our hands. There's times where you think, I can't rely on anybody. I'm telling you this morning, you can rely on God. You can rely on His Word. You can rely on who He is. You can rely on the character of what we know about Him. You can rely on God. You may have been let down by your family, by your spouse, by your loved ones, by your business partner, by your coworkers, by your children, by everybody that you love. See, those people, they're human and they have the ability to let you down. They probably don't even mean to do that to you, but that happens in life. God does not have the ability to let you down. You can rely on Him. Rely on Him this morning. He loves you. Hi, baby girl. You're being good. I'm about to be quiet and let us go have some fun. Last verse for me this morning. 1 Peter. Dad's like, what? What just happened? His mouth. I could tell. He used to tell me when I first started ministering, which was like when I was 19, so that was 20 years ago. You're going to have to, like, you know, have a cutoff at some point, Kel. I mean, you're really long-winded. But I was so excited about the Word of God that I could just go on. I mean, I could filibuster. I could talk. I could talk you under the pew. I could talk that much. But I'm not going to. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. How many of you are glad that the Schaefers are back? Amen. I'm happy to see him. How many of you have children? You have children in the room. Good. Let's keep it that way for a while. All right? Most of us are parents. I'm a parent. I have two boys. I don't love anybody the way I love my kids. There's things that I would do that are not even legal for my kids, okay? There ain't nothing that gets me plumb in the nut zone quicker than when it deals with my child. That's called mama bear syndrome. And that happens to you the moment you have that child. Something comes over you and you've become someone that could turn into a bear, like on a dime. But I'm sure you've experienced this in your life, that when it comes to your children, you want to take away everything bad that could ever come against them. You want to take every pain, every hurt, I don't know if you've ever had somebody do something to your kids and you wanted to get them. The other day, there was some people messing with one of my kids, and those other people, they're only 12. And I had to just pray. I said, God, I know you don't want me to have no prison ministry, but I'm like considering it right now. I don't care that they're only 12. But that's a natural thing. God is that same way. God wants to take every hurt from you, everything that slowed you down, everything that's become a hindrance for you. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, God loves us so much that he wants us to give the things to him that are hurting us. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. This morning I was asking God, Lord, besides telling them that you love them, what else do you want me to say? Because this is going to be a very short message. They're going to be in shock. He said, I want all of their anxiety. I want all of their anxiety. We live in a very anxiety-filled society. I want to talk to that person where you've been struggling in that place for a long time. God wants the anxiety over that situation. He wants it. He wants it from you because it's hurting you. It's holding you back. I want to talk to that person right here that the anxiety has gotten so bad that you don't even want to leave your house most of the time. That person could be on Facebook. See, God wants that anxiety. The Word of God says, cast all your care, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. I'm not going to make a huge deal about this, but if that's you in here this morning and you're saying, you know what, I've had some anxiety, I've had just some things, it's just like an overwhelming flood sometimes that just wants to come over me. I want you to stand right where you're at. I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I'm not going to parade you up here. We're not going to do this for show, but I'm talking to the anxious heart in here this morning. I'm talking to the anxious heart in here this morning because, see, God wants to make a move in your life. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now. God, as people make themselves to their feet, God, I thank you that you're stirring every heart in here this morning, every anxious heart. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Put your hands up because God wants to fill those hands with a peace that passes all understanding. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, you see every single person. God, they're on their feet and their hands are up. Lord, I ask you right now to fill every person to the top where it's running over. God, they have so much peace and they have so much comfort and they have a blessed assurance that you're taking care of it. Lord, you said in your word that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So right now in this place, I bind up anxiety in the name of Jesus. I bind up those racing thoughts in the name of Jesus. I bind up condemnation right here in the name of Jesus. And right now, I loose the Spirit of God to be on your kids right now, God. Lord, I loose peace and comfort. I loose a resolve right now in situations that have been messed up for a long time. There's somebody this morning and you're saying, God, how much longer? How much longer? You're almost there. Hold on. Hold on to God. Lord, I thank you right now for everything that you've done. Lord, I ask that you bless this lunch. Bless these people. Lord, I thank you that not even one kid here today is going to need a Band-Aid because, God, you have poured out your protection all over us. And we're going to have a great, great afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Y'all sit down for just a second.